Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Oh, how the season has gone for the Washington Commanders. At one point, they were 3-2. Very close to getting to 4-2 against the Bears. And they fumbled that game away, and they haven't won since.
I mean, it's remarkable. I tweeted about it. Yeah, you're just a possession away from being 4-2, and then all of a sudden, the bottom falls
out. It's now back-to-back seasons where the Bears-Commanders game has sent the losing team into a death spiral. Last year it was for the Bears, this year for the Commanders.
A lot of people are making that comparison.
It's weird, but that's kind of the way it's played out so far.
But what we've seen with this team, look, when you don't have your starting quarterback for half the games,
right,
you're generally not going to do well. So if we went back and did our preseason predictions, and we were told just one thing. Forget about all the other injuries. If we just told this one thing, hey, Jaden Daniels is going to miss half the games, you wouldn't have them winning the majority of their games.
I think I picked them to win 12 games. If I had that intel, if I was a fortune teller,
you would have said six or seven.
I would have said 6 or 7 wins.
Right. So
at the most.
That's number one, that Jaden Daniels hasn't been available for half the games. But number two is the defense has been just abysmal. It's hard to remember a Commander's defense this bad. So they finally made the move. Joe Witt has been demoted. He wasn't fired. He was demoted. And he'll go back to the booth, and Dan Quinn is going to take over as the defensive coordinator and call the plays. Do you think it makes a difference? If you look at our poll, you can vote at Junks Radio. 70% say no. No difference, no impact.
Again, I think it's how you define it. If you're saying, does it guarantee a win? No. I do think that they're going to play a little better. I do think that hopefully we have fewer instances of guys just literally being wide open on every single play. You know, guys getting 8-9 yards every carry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll clean up some of that. Whether it's enough to keep us in the game, I'm hoping it is, but I don't know. But I do think you're going to see a little bit better. It's his wheelhouse. It's a specialty. It's a superpower. That's why he's a head coach, because he's been so good as a defensive coordinator in this league for so many different units. And if you read sort of on his growth as a coach. And again, it's all over me. I'm not an X's and O's guy. But you see how he's had different kinds of defenses, you know, dating back from Seattle to, I guess, you know, his various different stops. What he had in Atlanta. What he had in Dallas. He's always adding and incorporating different things. So, you know, he's a defensive wizard.
I just think he can only do so much with limited personnel. I mean, you're down six defensive starters.
For sure.
And you can't generate a pass rush. Mm-hmm. And you're down both starting corners.
But maybe you can cover guys a little better. Maybe you can't get to the quarterback, but maybe you can hold on and explain the concepts such that guys can hold on for a few extra seconds and give an opportunity to make a play or two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
How many did we give up last week? What did we give up?
44.
40, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do better than that. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give up 40 plus. I don't know if I'm
what,
so
what will you be impressed by? Less than
25 or less.
So 25. So if they give up 24,
I'd say that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
That's an improvement.
24. That's a 20-point improvement.
That is an improvement.
That is true.
That's 20-point improvement. If they give up under 30, the bar's so low. If they give up under 30, I'm going to say mild improvement. Under 25, solid improvement.
Under 25 is shocking based on what we've seen for the last month.
Yeah.
Now against the Bears, they only gave up 25.
Yeah. Under 20, impossible. I feel like that's just an impossible number.
I just think the Miami's got those two major weapons, and they're just going to do damage.
I think,
that's who they rely on.
If you look at HN's game log, though, he doesn't necessarily murder you every week. He gets a lot of touches.
No, they had some bad games. I mean, the Ravens killed him. The Browns killed him.
But
he didn't put up a ton.
I mean, he didn't have any rushing touchdowns 3 weeks in a row. Against Cleveland, Atlanta, and the Ravens. He did have a receiving touchdown against Atlanta.
Well, Cleveland has a top two or three rushing defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hit the people. Let's see what they think.
All right, let's go to Scott in Silver Spring. Scott, what's up, buddy? Do you think Dan Quinn taking over that you will see a difference?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up? Hey, buddy.
I mean, it'll be a little better this week because Miami's not Detroit or Kansas City, but you can pour syrup on crap that doesn't make it pancakes. I mean, this is it.
I like that.
Everything that went well for us last year, everything that could have did this mm-hmm. year, it's just the opposite. It is what it is, and I mean, the one thing that I'm happy about is they fight. I mean, guys, we have stupid penalties, but they're frustrated. They care. They're still fighting for Dan Quinn.
So you don't think they've quit? Valdez has come in here. He has a theory that they were on the verge. If they haven't quit yet, they're on the verge.
Well, the Jahmyr Gibbs run was very damning. I mean, that they
bad quit. Execution though.
Yeah. Who had the clip where they pointed out and made it look like his?
I'll send you the clip.
Yeah, I watched the clip.
Look, if there's no, I would be alarmed if all of a sudden the effort isn't as intense when Dan Quinn takes over.
Oh, that'd definitely be alarming. I'm hoping to see more of like that Kansas City effort, that first half Kansas City effort.
Like wouldn't you feel bad because you like Joe Witt, if you're Von Miller or something, you praise him. All the players praise him that you basically got him demoted. Mm-hmm. Like wouldn't you feel bad?
They probably feel bad to an extent. I'm guessing their lives go on. Even if Joe got demoted.
If your defensive coordinator gets fired, you know there's going to be a new guy coming in, and your job is now suddenly up for grabs.
Sure.
Right.
You know?
I see a minor improvement, but I mean, Dan Quinn's not going to be out there covering anybody or tackling anybody.
Right, but maybe he can articulate the sort of the responsibilities better. Maybe guys are just a little confused.
Yeah, he could tell you. He could tell you how to cover somebody, but are you going to be able to cover him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and they lost two more defensive starters.
I don't think Eric Bickle's that great of a corner right now at 55.
No. Let's go to Jermaine Bowie. Jermaine, what's up, buddy? You're all with the Jucks.
Yeah, so first of all, I have zero. I think they had zero chance to win this weekend.
Zero?
And
okay. I think we have better
zero,
than that.
Zero.
I think we have a 25%.
Yeah, I just don't think we're playing well, and we don't have. I agree with Valdez. We don't have the players, but I think Dan Quinn was a good move. So I think Joe Vick, he's going to be gone. Joe Witt, he's going to be gone after the bye week. Because they're not, he got demoted. They're not going to put him back in this position.
No, but they'll use him. He can help be eyes in the booth. He can help see things. Yeah. He can be useful.
Yeah, but you were the head guy. So now how do you go back? I mean, it's just not going to work. I think at some point we're going to hear he's been released. Maybe even the end of the year. But I think
could be.
I think at the end of the year, that's when you see it.
Yeah. Or they just have him in a lesser position. If Dan Quinn still values him.
Well, he does. He says they're going to go back to the dynamic they had when they were in Dallas. Mm-hmm.
Worst Washington defensive coordinator.
Now they had
Joe Witt or Joe Barry?
Well, close. I remember Joe Barry.
Probably Joe Barry.
But then Joe Barry, I think, went to like Green Bay, he did a good job over there.
Better players.
Okay for a year.
Yeah, better players.
Yeah.
What's the secondary going to do this week? So right now, the Commanders, against the pass, are the second-worst defense in the NFL. They give up 260 yards per game. Now you don't have Trey Amos.
I think Jones is okay. I think he's playing, right? He'll be still available, Jonathan Jones.
Jones.
Okay. I don't know. You see, get more pressure. If they don't get more pressure, then it won't be any better.
I'll bet
why would they
now
get more pressure?
Just make it more of an emphasis.
Find somebody
Dolphins,
else?
Just make more of an emphasis on it.
The Dolphins score 30 in this game. Any takers? Anybody want to take that side? Less than 30?
I don't want to bet on it, but
anybody?
I want to hope it. I want to hope it.
I mean, I'm hoping it too, but I don't see this artificial Dan Quinn bump helping them.
Less than 30?
You'll take it?
Yeah.
I'll take 30 or more. All put it in the book. Want to make
30's
it 5?
A lot.
You want to make it 5? Or you want to make a standard $2 bet? $5 bet?
You know what?
Let's go.
It's so funny.
I want some good vibes. I put me in on it.
Yeah. It's so funny because a few weeks ago, Cakes and I said,
you know what, Cakes? I'm
the Dolphin game is a
Commander
lock
fandom.
We I'm both said it's a lock that the Commanders beat the Dolphins.
I'm looking
not
at the,
in.
I'm looking
you're
at
not
the game realistically. You
that's
can,
fair.
You can. You're clearly a bigger Commanders fan than I am. Nobody's arguing that. I'm just looking
at.
Yeah,
but last year you were
numbers. I'm a man of science. I'm looking at numbers and what teams are doing. This is Commanders.
You're having too much glee.
There's no glee. I mean, you think I'm happy that the Commanders are wallowing in a five-game losing streak?
You have glee that you have money on them scoring over 30.
Is it
$10.
Over 30 or
about $10
or 30 plus?
30 plus.
30
on his
or
end
higher, I win.
Okay.
Yeah.
29 or less, you win.
I'm with you. We're gonna hold them under 30. If we lose 29,
such a low bar.
If we lose 29, zippy, I'm gonna be happy. Yeah.
Well, their average is 28. They give up 28 points per game on average. So, right, it'll probably be close.
I mean, it's not that far off their standard.
They're
number
only averaging 21 a game.
Yeah, but they don't play the Commanders' defense every week.
Right.
If they played the Commanders' defense every week, they'd be averaging nearly 30 points per game.
Coming up next, we'll talk some college football from the SEC Network. Former Redskin receiver Chris Doering will join us.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right now, time for us to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV and talk to our friend, Mr. Ben Standig from the Standig Room Only Substack. What's up, Benny? How you doing?
I am doing well. I'm getting a little FOMO here talking to you guys overseas, but otherwise I'm doing well.
Yeah, dude, it's cool here. Like, the experience is cool, but it's a ton of work, dude. You would know it. Like, you...
It's fun, though, Ben. Don't let JP fool you.
Tonight, I'm looking forward to relaxing a bit. Yesterday was a zoo, and it's been all work today. Not all of us got to go to a chocolateria today.
Hey, man. Had a little fun.
Benny, our AAA poll question of the day is an interesting one. Seven games left for Washington. How many of those seven will they win? The AAA poll question of the day is brought to you by AAA. Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/commanders.
Mm-hmm.
They got seven games left. Benny, how do you think this goes?
Well, just thinking of this off the top of my head here, I mean, you know, it's amazing that I don't think they're going to win this week, which is crazy considering how we've just been sort of chalking up the Dolphins game as a victory. But right now, with the way the Washington defense is going, I don't know. After the bye week, you know, they've got the last four games against division opponents. We know how those things kind of throw out the record. So, I don't know. Give me 2-5 the rest of the way. That doesn't sound great, but considering they're currently 0 for their last five, maybe that doesn't sound so bad.
Mm. So I said 2 or 3, which sounds right to me. And honestly, say you go 3-4 over the last seven, you could kind of spin that as a positive. But damn, if that is what happens, you're talking about a 6-11 season. How did we get here, dude?
Well, look, I mean, there's obviously football reasons. I think you can't. It's undeniable, though, that the injuries have been just a huge factor. Now, the injuries exposed their limited depth in certain spots, right? When you lose Terry McLaurin, they just don't have another outside receiver that could replace that. When you lose Dorrance Armstrong, your sack leader, you don't have somebody else who can fill in at the pass rush level. And then, of course, obviously the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. I mean, Marcus Mariota has done a fine job, but, you know, you're just, you know, the ceiling is lower when it's not Daniels. And then that's just like the tip of the iceberg with the injuries, as we know. So that's been a huge part of it. But again, I think it's just exposed the lack of depth, and on defense in particular, that's been, you know, highly problematic. I think the offense, for the most part, has been able to get by and at least be competitive despite the injuries, but the defense, obviously, just a complete disaster, and it's only gotten worse as the injuries have piled up here.
Looking at, like, the injuries, and I understand no one wants to ever just use that excuse that, oh, the injuries caused the problem. I don't think the media wants to do it. I don't think fans look at it. I don't think the team does. But when you really look at it, the injuries are the problem. And then the next people, they come out and they say, well, this team had injuries, that team had injuries. But if that team has been building 5, 6, 7 years, they can withstand those injuries a little better, because now they've had guys that might have been in their system 3 years, 2 years, 4 years, that can play better than the guys that were in your system 1 year. They had, what, 30-plus new players last year, and then 30-plus new players this year? That's not very much chemistry going on. And I think that we overlooked the possibilities of what could have gone wrong last year if we hadn't won those games at the last second. And then when you come into this year, I just think that everything went against you. And, hell, what we could have seen last year, we see this year.
Yeah, I remember last year, the last sort of few weeks of the season when they kept winning games at the last, on the last play, or it wasn't decided until the last play. I kept asking myself, my podcast audience, my cat, anybody who would listen, are we sure this team is good? Like, I could, they kept winning these games. You're just like, how is this happening here? But then they go out into the playoffs and pull off two huge road wins, including, the big shocker in Detroit. And just like, okay, well, I guess maybe there's more to it here. But ultimately, kind of what you were just saying, they were fortunate last year, as we know, with injuries. Not too many. Certainly not in the waves like this year. Jaden was healthy, and, just the breaks went their way. And that's fine. It's not a negative. That just things went their way. You got to put yourself in a position to take advantage of it when things go your way. They did last year. And this year, everything is just the opposite. And it is, it is only year two of this new regime, and you're right, the depth has, not only is there lack of historical cohesion, but there's a lack of depth. I think, though, the concern here is, and this is what I think the last seven games for me is going to be really about, is do these two draft classes under Adam Peters show more? We've obviously seen the quarterback, and there's been, moments for some other guys, but I don't know how many of these draft picks we're saying here right now are definitive starters in 2026, and that's where I think this gets a little more concerning, because you need these younger guys to fill in and show they're ready to go. And I don't know that we're there yet. And that's, I think, part of what's going on here.
What did the cat say?
Oh, Lenny's a believer. He's a believer in Jaden Daniels. He thinks we're fine.
All right.
It's a really good point to think long haul. What is here? You know what I mean? Not just, all right, can you finish maybe 4-3 over the last seven and find some positivity? But, like, what does this look like 26, 27, 28? But the centerpiece of it all is what's most important. And I think knowing that Jaden's here can mask a lot of deficiencies. But at some point, you'd like him to not have to mask deficiencies all the time. This is also – I looked this up. So Washington last season had their bye in week 14.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So they had four regular season games remaining. The Saints game went down to the last play where they broke up a two-point winner that would have won it for New Orleans. The Eagles game that they won at home went down to the last minute when Zach Ertz caught that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons game went to overtime, and they won on the last play, touchdown throw to Jameson Crowder. That clinched the playoffs. The Cowboys game, they won on the last play of the game, Mariota to Terry. The Tampa game, last play of the game, the doink going around the world. I mean, that's five in a row, last play of the game. That's crazy.
And I think as it was going on, greatest thing in the world, we were excited. And as Ben stated, he was asking, what happens if that doesn't happen like that? And I think by watching this year, we have to revisit last year and just realize, as great as the record looked, were they that good? Or we were just that lucky?
Yeah, I mean, look, even in the Detroit game, right? I mean, they get all the credit for the win. The Lions turned the ball over five times while gaining over 500 yards of offense. It's not too dissimilar to what's happening now, except that teams aren't turning the ball over five times. And then simultaneously, Jaden's not throwing – downfield missiles to Deami Brown and to Terry and all that. So, they're just missing a lot here. I think we talk a lot about the defense, and obviously that's been a huge problem. I think on offense, the first five games, even when Jaden was out, they weren't performing poorly, right? When Mariota was in there, they put up over 40 against the Raiders. I know the Raiders are not good, but still. And then that Chargers game, that was the best game they played, I think, all season.
Yeah.
And you look at that game, right? Bill had 150 yards of total offense. Debo was a monster for most of that game. And then the next week, Debo pops up on the injury report with a heel issue. He's not been the same since, and it felt like at that point it was just too much for the offense that, as we've discussed, they just don't have enough playmakers. Even with Terry and Debo healthy, even if Bill is, running as well as he has at times, they still lack, those explosive players. And a receiver in particular, it just became impossible to scare the defense at all down the field. And all, I think that's just all, you know, led to these problems. But again, at least I think the offense, to a degree, has shown enough. It's just that the defense, boy, I mean, to say it's been a mess the last month would be an understatement.
For sure. Talking with our friend Ben Standig on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Benny at Ben Standig. Check out his Substack, Last Man Standig. I want to circle back to something you said early, that you don't like this matchup. You're worried about them losing to the Dolphins. I mean, I can understand it, the way the defense has played over the last month, but expand on those thoughts if you can.
Well, I think, you know, for one, I mean, the Dolphins come in here having 1-2 of 3, so they're actually, you know, based on results. I mean, they beat the Bills last week. I know the Bills are a little bit up and down than expected this year, but so what? Miami was being viewed as an easy win, and now they're pulling off some good games. Their defense has improved just statistically in the last few weeks, and then offensively, you know, this is sort of the thing with compared to Washington. At some point, it isn't even about talent on some level. It's like, do you have the athletic capability to scare other teams? And the Dolphins have Jalen Waddle and Devin Achane, two of the faster playmakers in the league. Both had huge games against the Bills. You know, just sort of get them the ball and let them make plays. Washington does not have that right now capability. And, you know, as much as Tua Tagovailoa gets, you know, ragged on for being, you know, having a terrible contract and not being worth it, it's not like he's a garbage quarterback. He can still make plays. It's just the value for what he does is not worth it. And, you know, they're obviously also all under the hot seat. They just fired their GM. Is Mike McDaniel going to stay on as coach? So, you know, they have plenty to play for. Not saying Washington doesn't, but it's a sort of a different deal. So, yeah, I just fear that Miami is a team coming in here looking at Washington as a bit of a get-right game, and they're doing it with the momentum coming off the Bills with these playmakers against the Washington defense that has not stopped anybody. So, you know, that's my fear. If Washington doesn't get turnovers, or the breaks don't go their way, this may be another track meet where they're on the wrong end of it.
I wish every player goes back to high school and just think about it. When someone played you in homecoming, they were telling you that you were not good. When people start looking at you as that get back game, that's them telling you you're not good. And I hope they come out with that level of pissed off activity and pride. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, this is how you know this.
You're right. This is a get right game. That's why people be looking at our defense. Get right. Get stats.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy how, well, you know, it wasn't even that long ago. You know, I think before the Kansas City game, I was looking at it like the next four games as if Washington can go 2-2 and then get some of their guys back after the bye, they could still be in this thing. Then they lose 3 in a row, but automatically the Miami game was viewed as one of the wins. They just had to win one of the other 3. Now, here we are a month later, the Dolphins are favored in the game because Washington's looked so poor and Miami's at least looked a little better, so... Yeah, things can change. Maybe it'll change for Washington this week with Dan Quinn taking over as defensive coordinator. Obviously, that's the big unknown variable, if that matters or if that changes things for this team. Hopefully, for their sake, it does, and for our viewing sake, it does. That's, you know, right now, obviously, they're in a tough spot.
I kind of like them in this spot. I think Miami is so up and down that they could just have a clunker on Sunday. And I think... In a lot of ways, man, I think what Miami did last week against Buffalo was they responded for their coach. Pretty obvious how much pressure is on Mike McDaniel, and he might still get canned at the end of the year anyway. But I think Washington needs to show up for Dan Quinn. We've heard the players week after week say, we're a well-prepared team, we just have to execute. Do you think that message gets hammered home a little bit more now that there has been, even though it doesn't rank in the significant changes of someone getting fired, but the fact that Joe Witt has been demoted, DQ has to take more on, that is a pretty major change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the saying always is you can't fire the players, you can fire the coach. You know, so they didn't fire the coach here, they demoted him. That still puts, you know, now it puts the onus more on the players and to a degree Dan Quinn as well to say, okay, we changed this piece. Now what? You can't put this on the defensive coordinator. I'm not saying that the players were doing that at all, but just saying, you know, from the perception of it all, that was taking place. And now it's going to be on the players. And, you know, I don't know, it's the weirdest thing, you know, seeing game after game defensive backs run into each other, you know, defensive backs just giving up gobs of yards to receivers, seeing players in the back seven seemingly confused as to where they need to be. If you go back and look at that first Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown catch last week, you know, Jordan McGee is ultimately on him, but he was kind of like moving around all over the place because there seemed to be some confusion. So why is that happening? And is Dan Quinn, you know, does Dan Quinn make that a little bit easier, let them, you know, feel more comfortable with what they need to do? Hopefully that happens. But, you know, it needs to. I mean, you know, whether they win another game or not, they've got to look a lot better. They've got to be competitive. They can't be down 28-0 before some of the people stuck in traffic get in the stadium, you know? So that's the bare minimum, yeah. And we'll see if that starts this week. Again, like you said, JP, a Miami team that's, you know, not particularly good this year. They've been playing better lately, but, you know, they have the same record as Washington, 3 wins. This is not a good team, but, so, you know, can
they've shown,
you know,
better.
But this isn't the Lions, this isn't the Seahawks, this isn't the Chiefs. So that excuse goes out too. So now what do you look like against a team that maybe is closer to your level?
What has, just because we're here, obviously, what has been like the experience at home kind of watching Washington practice here? Like, it's so bizarre. Just generally, when I'm at practice and I tweet out what the coaches say or a video of the players, there's like a ton of interaction. But because it's all happening so early, I feel like this game might be kind of off the radar at home.
Yeah, when they wake up, half the day is over.
Right.
Be honest with you.
So I'll be really honest. This may be a little too TMI. What is today? Thursday? So on
they left Monday, got here Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so whenever Will Harris was announced that his 21-day practice window was opening, it happened like literally at 4 o'clock in the morning here time. And I caught it in real time because Mother Nature called and I needed to go do some things. And I looked at my phone and you guys were tweeting that they had just made that announcement. But if I don't wake up at 4 in the morning, I don't see it till, you know, several hours later. And, yeah, it has kind of flown under the radar because most of the things that are happening are taking place while we're all asleep. And then, again, you know, the reality is, unfortunately, you know, no Jaden. You know, it feels like the competitive part of the season has kind of faded off. So I haven't gotten a ton of sense of, like, people are, like, super-duper excited for this one other than it's new and it's different. But, you know, look, they're going to be there on Sunday. They're going to watch the game. They're going to hope for the best. But, yeah, the time difference and the fact that the team is not playing at a good level right now, I think, has kind of made this thing far more muted than it would have been otherwise.
I agree. I also think if they were 3-7 and it was Marcus starting and this game was just in Miami, I think it'd be muted also.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there will actually be on Sunday more interest. I think you might have more Commanders fans watching on Sunday a pair of 3-7 teams than we would if it was a 1 o'clock game, because it's 9:30, it's standalone. Mm-hmm. Just watch it. You know what I mean? Unless you're playing golf or have early kid sports, or maybe you're going to church, like Sunday at 9:30 is a pretty relaxed time for most folks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I debated going out to Vegas this week as like, since I, you know, to avoid any kind of FOMO perhaps of building up, that I was like, let me go do something. And I was like, man, I got to get up at 6:30 to watch, or be up at 6:30 to watch this thing. That was a little much. 9:30 is fine, but it is that national window, right? I mean, not that they've had plenty of other national TV games here, so this is the new, but that national window, especially in the morning, I feel like that's when people are like, I'm going to wake up for this. You better play good football.
And, that may become our new national time, bro.
9:30 is not waking up that early, dog.
Well, I mean, for people who do their usual football routine, I mean, you know, you're plus 9:30 here. I mean,
if it's 9:30, you up and at 'em already, Ben. You got to get there by what, 10, 11?
Ben might not be up and at 'em at 9:30.
Oh, well, look, I'm up and at 'em, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're a tailgater, 9:30 is early. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun. A little coffee golf.
Go out here, beat Miami, and they start putting us on more early morning games.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Do you think this game is going to get flexed? The next game against the Broncos, you think that we get flexed out of that Sunday night spot?
I don't know. What Denver has, what, Kansas City this week,
yeah.
I think? I mean, so I don't know. I mean, if I don't know what – I think this is all on Denver. If Denver – keeps winning as they have been for the most part, then maybe this game stays because they are, you know, by record, a legit contender in that conference. You know, Sean Payton, Bo Nix. I don't know if that does enough for a national audience, but there's that. But yeah, Washington's not helping that cause. So I think Denver has to stay on. Otherwise, yeah, I don't see how they don't flex it out.
We shall see. All right, buddy. Thank you for the time.
Hi, Ben.
You fellas enjoy your time over there. Very jealous, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, dude.
Don't sleep past 9.
Stop later, man.
Yeah, get that cat to wake you up. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. I want to play some Amon-Ra St. Brown audio because it's a it's an interesting situation, what happened to Duron being suspended this week. And Duron can't throw that punch, period. But you wonder if it gets to that level, if it's properly flagged in the first place. Nobody go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Hey, it's JP Finley, and you've heard me talk about the great work the folks at Metropolitan Moving and Storage can do for you and your family. Listen, Metropolitan Moving, I've known these guys a long time. They've been great for me and my family, and they can do the same for you. When we had the flood in my house, my boy McCarty reached out to me right away, said, how can we help? Put me in touch with a contractor, got me a whole bunch of boxes to box stuff up. That's the level of service you get because these guys are the best. They're trusted by real estate agents. They're trusted by commercial lease experts. They can move your house or your office, whatever it is you need. They can also do some storage. Say you want to sell your house, you want to get it staged, they can come to your house, box everything up, put it in storage, and then when you sell your house, close on your new house and move in, deliver it then. You never have to share truck space with these guys. They'll give you a free on-site estimate with one of their moving consultants. And what
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Whatever it is you're looking for, say you've got high-end art or sculptures, they could put that in specialized crates so nothing gets damaged during moves. They're the best. Look for them. DCMetropolitanMoving.com. That's Metropolitan Moving and Storage. DCMetropolitanMoving.com.
Speaking of the offseason, it is still 7+ games away for the Commanders, but it feels closer than that, doesn't it?
Yes.
As we've turned our attention now to where they rank in the draft order and looking at the schedule to try to figure out whether or not they bring Jaden Daniels back and how many more games you can get to further develop your sophomore quarterback. But where I wanted to start the show with the Commanders getting tuned up for the Dolphins in Madrid is on just how bad this season's gotten and whether or not this is fixable in an offseason. I think this is actually a fascinating conversation. Are they a really productive offseason away from being good again? If you were to fast forward 1 year from today to 10 weeks into next football season in 2026, year three of Jaden Daniels, which also is year three of Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, is the expectation with a last place or close to its schedule that they would be more like last year's team, where they are a front-running, potential playoff team, one of the talks of football? Daniels looks more like he did in his freshman year than his sophomore year. Or do you view what has happened this year as actually a lot more revealing that they're far away and as evidence that this isn't a quick fix? That an offseason where you sign three or four impactful starters and have a draft class isn't enough to kind of change things? Because I think there's two different ways to view this season.
Mm-hmm.
There's the camp of people that look at this and say, the injury situation ruined this year, and this is going to end up being an outlier for this program. Which, if that's your takeaway right now, I think you could argue with that, but it's reasonable enough based on the fact that when they were healthier 1 year ago, and when the quarterback was healthier, they were a 12-win team that didn't just make the playoffs, but they won two road playoff games against good teams Tampa Bay and Detroit, who they walloped. Both on the road. Then there's the other camp, Danny, that looks at this and goes, this is the oldest team in the league that is not layered very well because of the previous regime, and so there's not a lot of extra talent and spare parts that can't withstand injuries. You're going to lose a ton of players to the market this offseason because of all the one-year deals you've signed with these older players. And there are now questions about everything from the front office decision-making to the coaching staff, coordinators on both sides of the ball and your head coach, to the quarterback, who is a second contract guy, I think most of us would agree, a franchise QB will be the starter here for years, but is he the elite MVP candidate of a year ago, or is this more in line with what it's going to look like? All the way down to the roster where you go, last year was super fun, but that was the outlier, not this year. So that's the conversation I want to have. Do you feel like this is just a lost season based on injuries that they're limping, but as soon as you get to pit road, you're going to bang on the car a little bit, it comes back out and get back to first place next year? Or should we not be expecting that if you fast forward into next season, that they're back in the postseason mix trying to win the division again?
Yeah, I don't think it's 1 year. And the reason for that for me is you're trying to fit what should have happened. In retrospect, in real time, I didn't have an objection to what they were doing. But you should have been doing 3 years worth of talent layering, go young, build your core, acquiring draft picks, etc. They got the fewest picks coming up in the NFL this coming draft. They didn't do anything about it at the trade deadline. They had the fewest draft picks last year. This is not a built-for-rebuild thing. This is a right-now thing. They need future stuff. You can only add so many draft picks, so many young players, so many guys on rookie deals. You're not capable of it. You don't have the horses right now. And they squandered that opportunity to try to capitalize on what happened in year one, which, again, I got. I'm not criticizing that. Simply acknowledging that a pivot is needed. There's no space for it. There's no way to acquire enough young impact talent to get faster, stronger, quicker, more impactful, more dangerous on both sides of the football. Injuries aren't why Bobby Wagner can't cover anybody out of the backfield anymore. Injuries aren't why Frankie Louvu is a shell of himself for whatever reason as a pass rusher. I understand how impactful the injuries have been. I'm not a crazy person. I don't just yell next man up.
But injuries aren't why Zach Ertz can't separate. Injuries aren't why.
But Wagner's not going to be here. Ertz is not going to be here.
Totally.
Those were one-year rentals, and you could have new, better players at those positions. I don't view that as
you don't go to the detriment
to the cause of being really good again next
You don't just
year.
Get to go to the new player store. I mean,
No, but they have money and they have picks.
Right, and you can fill some needs because you have very few picks.
And those are primary needs.
Yeah, you have very few picks, and they didn't do anything about getting more picks to this point. And
there was not really a chance to yet. I mean, you're mad that they didn't get a couple seventh-round picks, which I get, but that wouldn't fix the linebacker or
the tight end. It doesn't fix everything, but you needed years of draft classes that they don't have because they didn't do it last year either. They traded away picks, and they don't have enough picks this year. They didn't have enough picks last year. You need to cram in multiple years of young talent acquisition on affordable deals or draft picks into one offseason. I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, and it's not possible both because they haven't done it, but also because it's not how the league works anymore.
Right.
There aren't 24 to 26-year-old guys becoming available. Free agency classes are older now, and if you want the 25, 26-year-old who rarely does hit the market as an elite talent, you're paying a premium, which they have not really been willing to do. But specific to the drafts, that was a omission on their own part. I mean, that was their own planning.
Yeah, they chose a different path, which I got in real time. I get
sure.
it. Yeah.
I think most of us did, but it is the reality of part of how you've gotten here now. But the argument for them being good again next year is not very hard to make, I don't think. First, it centers around Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, he's fine. He fixes it.
Daniels plays like he did last season. And it doesn't honestly even have to be at that level, which was MVP caliber. It just has to be considerably better than this year, where he was much closer to league average. Where Marcus Mariota right now has a better EPA per play on the season, ranking 15th in the league, than Daniels did, ranking 17th in the league. Where, you know, Mariota scrambles at a lot lower rate leaving the pocket than Daniels did and stays in the pocket and pushes the ball down the field at the highest rate in the NFL, 42% of his throws over 10-plus yards, and just sees it down the field a little bit better. So you've got to get Daniels back healthy enough to play in the summer and play in the preseason and to play and practice all season long so that he can play at the level that we know he's capable of, which is what happened last year when he had all the time on task and time on the grass, which I think was probably the biggest reason for some of the regression that we talked about with the Kurt Warner tape and all those things the last couple of weeks. But Daniels elevating his play elevates the tide for the whole team, in my opinion. So that's number one. And then number two, you're going to have to bat higher in free agency and in the draft than they have, clearly.
Yep.
I think you get younger and you get faster, and that'll help them a lot. But in the same way that they were doomed to some extent by their schedule, by the quarterbacks they played this year, by leveling up and going varsity with your opposition, you're going to benefit from the swing backwards next year. We've seen this around here forever, by the way. Where this team would have a really good year. They'd win 5 in a row to get to 10-6, or 4 in a row to get to 9-7, or 7 in a row to get to 10-6. And they'd get to the playoffs, Griffin, Cousins, Mark Brunell, whoever it was, Todd Collins in for Jason Campbell. But then the next year, you get the tougher schedule because your record says it's time to level up, and then you got to pay the piper. So that ebb and flow is something we're used to, where last year, you were this year's Patriots. A really easy schedule you took great advantage of, never beating any winning teams, but winning a lot of games. And so now you play a much harder schedule, and just naturally it was going to come back to the pack a little bit. Next year could be a regression positively, where things get a little bit easier, and because of that, the same exact team would have had a better record. So I think that's some of this. Also, I ask you this. I agree with you. Injuries are part of the problem. They're not the whole problem. You just eloquently laid that out. What is their record if they're a reasonably healthy team? Instead of being 3-7, what would you have them at through 10 games? Normal health. I'm not saying perfectly healthy.
Right, right, right.
Like
normal
last year's
league
health,
average, yeah.
Which was, you know, last year they suffered very few injuries. You could convince me they could be 7-3 or 6-4. But a normal, unhealthy, injury-prone, riddled team, whatever, at an NFL extent, what would you say? I would think 5-5 is probably their record.
Yeah, so it'd be like, you'd look at the Pythagorean wins and losses, it'd be like 4.5 and 5.5. It'd be like that. So somewhere between 4 or 5 wins. So one more or two more.
How much different is this conversation right now?
Very.
If they're 5-5 and their losses are by 7 or 9 points.
Yeah, it's just regular. Oh, this is disappointing. It's a bummer, right? Versus, oh my God, I can't wait for the offseason.
So this is going to be really boring, but my long-winded answer here is, they won't be anywhere near as good as they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be anywhere near as bad as they are this year. That's 12 wins as your kind of apex. this year looks like it's going to be 11 losses, let's say, 12 losses maybe, as your floor. And so you're going to be smack dab in the middle of those two. And I think they are a middling, solid, competitive team that's probably in like that 8 and 9 window is what I would bank on next year. So maybe it's neither. But if the question is as simple as, is this fixable in one offseason? I guess I answer the question with the question of, to what end? To be back in the playoffs? Yeah, I think they could be a wild card team.
They could be in the mix.
No doubt. To be an NFC championship caliber team without a, you know, some crazy run in the playoffs? I would say no. They got bigger problems and bigger fish to fry. That's where your answer comes in, where it ain't all injuries, friends. There's a lot of real issues here that have been exposed.
Yeah, there's a major overhaul needed at a lot of spots. I mean, I haven't actually counted it up. Maybe I'll do that at some point when you look at free agents and starters that need the upgrading and changing out and swapping and paradigm shifts. And, you know, what if there's a new offensive coordinator who wants to run something different? Do you need different personnel in that regard? And there's a million different things that have to change. I mean, we're all seeing it, right? Again, injuries are a factor. If you deny that on either end, you're a crazy person. They are. You're worse without Terry McLaurin. You're worse without Dorrance Armstrong. That's obvious, right? But it's also not the end-all be-all because, again, there are guys that they are counting on who have underperformed dramatically for whatever reason, whether it's the guy next to him is injured and they got more exposed, whether it's offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, as the case may be, figuring something out against them. I don't know, but the answer is yes to all of it. It has been a major step back when they had to level up a difficulty, to your point.
I accidentally hit him in the face. I didn't even mean to, you know, jab him in the face. I just mean to, like, push him off. And I so happened to hit him in the face. And at that point, I was like, damn, like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, probably, you know, probably flag, whatever. Ref was standing right there. He didn't throw the flag, so that's that. He, after I do that, though, he grabs my face mask.
That was Amon-Ra St. Brown on his podcast, right? I think admitting that he punched Daron Payne. I can't believe how many of you watched the same video I did and reached out to me to say, he didn't hit him. He didn't hit him. What are you talking about? Daron started it. And stop making excuses. We become the excuse makers for this football team. Let me be very clear, as I was yesterday in talking about this. It didn't impact the game one way or the other. This isn't sour grapes like it would have, you know, Washington would have won if they had flagged Amon-Ra, thrown him out, and Daron wouldn't have responded. I think that's the way it would have gone had the referee standing right next to him flagged him. Amon-Ra thinks he should have been flagged, all right? Amon-Ra St. Brown thinks he should have been flagged. The score, instead of 44-22, might have been 41-22. They had no shot in that game. And losing Daron Payne, honestly, with the way he's played this year, very up and down, wasn't necessarily a big loss anyway. Not like some of their other losses, where we can make lots of excuses. Good morning. Busy guest day on the show. Denton coming up later on this hour to talk some college football. Jeff Ehrman from Inside Maryland Sports will join me at 11. Jeff covers Maryland sports better than anybody does. And we'll have a conversation about whether or not moving on from Mike Locksley is a real thing or just a fan thing. Paul Charchian at 11:25. And then you'll hear Steve Suter's interesting observation and dialogue about Washington's defense Sunday against the Lions in his film breakdown for me yesterday. He had some interesting comparisons to comparing Washington's defense to various things based on what he called basically an abnormal game, which is what I thought. You know, Seattle was one thing. Detroit was actually unusual because nobody was near anybody all day long. This from Jen, keeping with the excuse motif here. This from Jen. Jen writes, Kevin, I help my husband coach my son's flag football team. We teach them no excuses. I know you coach basketball. I would hope that's the lesson you try to live and teach too. So no excuses for our football team anymore. Please, no more. That's a good one. Like, I get it, Jen. I'm not coaching here from 10 to 1. I'm not playing the game. Of course, as a coach or a player, it's no excuses. It's next man up. You don't allow that. Of course, I totally agree with you. But that's not what we're doing here. Dale writes, too much talk about injuries. It's not like they have preseason players playing preseason games. Other teams have injuries too. This team just isn't good. Admit it. Yeah, of course they're not good. They're 3-7. Duh. Not hard to admit that, Dale. But like the first part of your tweet to me, they actually have played at times this year, and certainly in recent weeks, with, you know, non-starter, non-participant preseason or participant preseason players. You know, and the problem, as you pointed out so eloquently, is they're not playing preseason games. They're actually playing regular season games against teams who are playing their expected regular season players. Many more of them than Washington is. The reaction to the reality of their season from some of you is hysterical to me. I get it. I'm not in my own life. I don't make excuses. I try not to. Certainly have tried to teach that to my boys. I've coached many, many years basketball. Certainly don't, you know, allow players to just make excuses. But that's not what we do here. We're evaluating. We're opining on this team. You know, that's what we do here for 3 hours. That's what you guys do. And the reality of their season is, yes, they need to say next man up and flex as they're saying it. But we're not coaching and playing. We're watching. And we've got opinions. So I went and did some math on this. All right, on what they've actually lost this year. So going into Sunday's game in Madrid against Miami, Washington's injury losses, there used to be a site that used to track what they call NFL lost man games. That's the number of games lost to injury. That data is really not available as much anymore. So you almost have to go do it yourself. And that's what I spent about 45 minutes yesterday doing before my podcast. So I'm going to do it here with you guys. So this is, you know, back of the envelope, because I'm sure I'm missing a few, but I tried to get most of what they've had during the course of the year. All right. I counted 22 players for a total of 82 games heading into Sunday. But I think the more important point, because that's a lot of players and a lot of games lost, okay? I don't know where that ranks, you know, on, you know, the most injured teams of all time. I bet you it's not there, but it's not really the point here, because it's not the number of players and games lost. It's that the players injured have been, on both sides of the ball, their most important players. By my count, 14 players who were in the lineup as either starters or basically, you know, close to the starting rotation, you know, in the mix, in the, you know, first three at a position, on opening day, okay, against the Giants, have either missed time or are out for the year. 14 of their key week one and expected contributors are either out for the year or have missed significant time. By the way, I did not count Sam Cosmi in that group. Cosmi missed the first six games of the year, recovering from the torn ACL in the playoff game against Detroit. So, Dale, players that have been forced into action include many players who were not expected to play. Yes, practice squad players, deep depth chart players, and players who weren't even in the organization, like Treylon Burks, who's hurt after his best game, Robbie Chosen, Chris Moore, Darnell Savage, you know, guys like Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes and Tay Martin and Antonio Hamilton. Antonio Hamilton, by the way, played a lot last week. Number 34, if you didn't know who he is. I'm sure, like, you guys are doing what I'm doing every Sunday, which is I'm not familiar with that jersey number. And you got to go look it up. If you're at the game, maybe you got a program. Do they still sell programs? I think they do. Yankoff, Dieter, Vickers. I mean, you just keep going through the list of players that have had to play. And by the way, that doesn't count players who have played but not played healthy. Bates has not been a healthy player. Debo's not been necessarily a healthy player for all of the games. So yeah, lots of players that weren't on rosters or were on practice squad or deep down the depth chart have played and played a bunch. And the problem with that is the games aren't preseason games. They count. They haven't had their guys. For some of you, it's like you're missing it. It apparently doesn't matter. Some of you believe that they should be what you expected them to be this year or what they were last year without their guys. Without their players, their best players on the field, more times than not. It just doesn't work that way in the NFL. Nine times out of ten, it does not work that way in the NFL. Occasionally, you'll get a team that, like the 49ers this year so far, didn't happen to them last year, 6-11 with all the injuries. This year, they're 6-4. We'll see where it ends up. With all the injuries, they've gotten healthier on offense as the season's gone along, but they lost two critical defensive players in Bosa and Warner for the season. So we'll see where the season ends up for them. I mean, they are now 6-4 and are a very short, Max, favorite at Arizona after Arizona got walloped by Seattle. That line is the stinker line of the NFL weekend. No smell test picks, speaking of that, for tonight's action. Jets-Patriots tonight. The Patriots are 13.5-point favorites. They actually opened at 10.5. No, I'm not taking that dog tonight. I'm not going against the Pats tonight. No chance. And there's a couple of college games tonight as well, but nothing on those either. Yeah. So, you know, I was reading Barry Zverluga this morning and his column. And he wrote something, you know, he was basically, he asked the question of Quinn yesterday about the foundation. Is this more foundation or is it execution? Was the way he wrote it. And it basically, he came to the conclusion that who knows, really. You know, the coach said it's execution. But for Barry wrote, you know, is this season a blip or is this season, you know, true? Like this is who they really are. Or is it just, you know, a blip? I think it's just a blip. That's what I think. I think this is without question a season in which hopefully they don't have more like this in terms of injuries. But I'm looking for the way Barry put it. He said, this is the way he put it, my fault. Was last year a fluke or is this year a blip? You know, was last year just totally flukish, 12-5, two playoff wins, or is this year just the aberration, the blip, because of the injuries and the schedule and whatever else you want to say? That's a good question. You know, I would say it's a good question for the group because I think there will be answers on both sides. For me, this year is a blip. Last year was not a fluke. Last year was, you know, a season of good fortune, but it wasn't fluke. Like, fluke means it's going to happen one time. A blip means it's only going to happen, you know, one time. This is not going to be the norm. I think this year's a blip, and I think you chalk it up to number one. Sorry, but I'm making the excuses for them. I'm giving you the reasons. They're not excuses for why they are 3-7. They've just been an absolute decapitated football team. They just have not had good enough players on the field in most of their games. Their best players. Sure, their depth was questionable. Sure, their frontline starters were questionable. But there's no way that you can convince me if they had a normal injury season, normal run-of-the-mill injuries, and have you know, and had their best players, the majority of them, in the lineup every single game healthy, that they would be a 3-7 football team. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Do I think that they would be an NFC championship contender? No, not after watching this defense. You know, that was the big mystery coming into the season. The defense needed to be improved for them to have a season that, you know, at least contended with the one they had last year. And I think even if they were healthy on defense, it wasn't going to be a good enough defense for them to be a legitimate threat to go deep into the postseason. So 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Was last year a fluke, or is this year just a blip? Take your calls next. Denton after that. Got a what do you got when we come back as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
All right, guys. Obviously, big game. Been talking about it all week.
This is really a big game. I've noticed that your crutch, you say big game every hit the skins.
Every single week?
Every week. It's a big game.
It's not that big anymore.
It's not. I don't know. It's not for playoff implications, but just for storylines.
I don't know. In my brain, it's a big game. Maybe it's a crutch. For I shouldn't say lines. Big game. Okay. Boring game.
Huge game.
Because what's...
I mean, I don't know. For me, it's a
big
game. What's
the storyline for this one? For me, it's, okay, Dan Quinn's taking over the defense. How much better is it going to look? Because if it looks poor again, then it was a pointless move.
I just think of defense at this point.
Because I guarantee you...
judgment after 1 week.
Okay, maybe. I just believe Dan Quinn approved everything Joe Witt was doing defensively because they talked to each other during games. They're in defensive meetings. There's no way Dan Quinn said, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
He said, whatever you're doing, let's do it. He approved everything.
I don't know how fixable it is when you're down six starters on defense.
He's the head coach.
Like, he can only do so much.
Yeah, I'm sure he approved the overall philosophy, but he, you know, he listened to the calls, but he might have wanted to make different calls or have different ideas for certain coverages, and I'm sure they discussed it at times. But
they should have done it.
I feel like it's a grass move.
I don't know, but that's,
always.
For me, that's the storyline.
In our history... It's here in Washington. It's a grasper move. Spurrier one time handed over the play calling.
Yeah,
it's almost like a raise the white flag. We can't do anything.
Well, it's move what somebody happens when teams struggle.
Booth. Yes, move
if
somebody
you
from the
offensively,
booth to the field.
You get a new coordinator.
Or yeah, it's
fine.
Now, look, if they,
but I think it makes sense. I'm glad they did it.
Look, if they look, I agree. I think a move had to be made. I just don't know if it's going to work. If they win the game 24-17. It was a great move.
Yeah,
Dan Quinn, all right, you should have been the defensive coordinator all year.
But even if it goes, even if they throw a shutout, you know, it doesn't mean long term it's going to work. You know, you just don't know. It's 1 week.
I know.
But I do expect them to be a little bit better, a little bit sharper.
Minor storyline, and it's kind of a grasper storyline. We've talked about Cliff Kingsbury potentially moving on to a college job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to be a hot commodity for a pro job. I've seen some of these lists, and he's not even listed in the hot coordinators anymore. But Mike McDaniel made a big deal yesterday about his connection with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was really pivotal in his life when he became sober.
Mm-hmm.
You might be looking at your future offensive coordinator if Mike McDaniel gets fired. There's a lot of things that have to happen.
Cliff
Kingsbury moves on, Mike McDaniel gets fired, which a lot of people expect. That could be your next offensive coordinator.
He's a really good coordinator. Now, he hasn't been a great head coach, but you'd love to have Mike McDaniel as your OC.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a terrible head coach. He's had some bad circumstances.
Okay. I mean,
what's his overall record?
I don't know.
It's probably very Dan Quinnish.
I don't know, but the last 2 years, it ain't good.
No. I mean, there's a reason that Stephen Ross is on the verge of firing him, seems like, all the time.
Yeah.
But just for
28-28 is what I first see when
we had success early on, and then it's just been kind of weird.
Two has been dinged up with the concussions, but they just have not been good the last 2 years.
So you had 9-8 his first year, 11-6 last year, 8-9 this year, of course.
By the way, apropos of nothing, it has nothing to do with the skins, but what is going on? I'm missing a lot of the. I know AJ Brown's been frustrated, right? He hasn't gotten the ball enough, but what else is going on personally? What's because then I saw people putting out a video of Jalen Hurts, this compilation of how, you know, he's like the the godfather of one of his children. They've been best friends for 10 years, and it seems like there's a friction.
There's a rift there now.
And he,
between
I
the
guess,
two
recently
them?
Did an interview, if I don't know if it was yesterday, where he was like, yeah, no, things ain't good. And, you know, he like wants out of there. What? Where is that stemming from? Is that simply from not getting the ball enough?
I think
enough?
He's just frustrated with his role in the offense. In
fact, simply from not getting the ball enough.
I think that's a big part of it.
Reading a lot
probably
of his quotes.
The biggest part of it.
He also says, now he's trying to say it's not just about him catching balls. He's talking about winning. Like, he mm-hmm. wants to win, mm-hmm. and he doesn't know that they can keep winning if the offense doesn't play better.
Mm-hmm. If the offense doesn't go through him.
I don't think it has to go through him. Mm-hmm. But he's a little weird, because remember last year when they win the Super Bowl, he was reading the book on the sidelines,
yeah.
and he said that he'd be happy for a day.
He's a weird cat.
What do you mean he'd be happy for a day?
Like, you're happy for a day that you won the Super Bowl, but then it's the next day.
Well, yeah. I think that's kind of like what Scottie Scheffler was talking about.
Yes.
You win a major, you're happy for about 15 minutes,
yeah.
and then you realize, all right, I got to go home, I got to feed the kids.
Similar.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. He was quoted on a stream a couple days ago where he basically said, if you have me in a fantasy league, drop me. was basically what he said.
Uh-huh.
And he's pretty much right. Hard guy to trust.
Couple people been interviewed of late. You know, we played those quotes from Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
Where he talked about, you have to be honest, and I don't think we are who we think we are. I know they asked Coach Quinn about it. He kind of danced around it a little bit, didn't have a lot to say. But then Mariota was asked more. A lot of these guys, Bobby Wagner, they've been asked, you know, what it's like, you know, to be there in Spain, etc. Mariota was also asked how far they were from being the team they anticipated. He said, it's a great question. I don't feel we're close. So he's being pretty honest, right? Others have been asked. Dan Quinn talked about how, you know, like in that Kansas City game, I think he was referring to, you see a little bit. He goes, it's a step forward, but then two steps backwards. That's kind of what's been the theme of the season, especially with injuries. Bobby Wagner, you know, who's been around a long time, he's kind of talking about the whole situation, says it's frustrating. We don't want to be in this situation. We got to get a win. And then when talking about Madrid, he said, I'm sure it's a beautiful city, but who cares? We have a football game there, and that's what we're here for, win.
I love that approach.
That's the focus you want.
If you're a fan going over to Madrid to see the Commanders, of course you care about the city and all the different sites, whatever. It's probably a trip of a lifetime. But if you're one of the players, that's a business trip.
Mm-hmm.
You fly over there, you get into your hotel, you go through your practices. You're not out there traipsing around in the city.
Well, kind of depends. Like I told you,
they might give him
18 birdies. Tells me the Tressway played golf quickly, but he's a punter, and they had a free day.
Yeah, it's punters and kickers are different.
Yeah, but even if they're practicing here, I mean, they're not the facility 24/7.
Right.
I mean, they do have downtime.
Sure.
So in their downtime, they can go out and do whatever they want. You just wouldn't have no interest in that.
I go back to this. The season has fallen apart. They're 3-7. The simplest answer is Jaden Daniels has basically played half the time. If you compare Marcus Mariota and Jaden Daniels' work this year, all right, Jaden has 168 pass attempts. Marcus Mariota's at 110. So Jaden has played more than Marcus, but it's not that much difference. Yeah,
the only counter to that is, I think over a season you would see it play out more, but I'm not sure they'd have one more win if Jaden had been there all year. So
that's
far,
fair.
The way it's played
out. The truth is, if you look at their rating, Jaden has only played slightly better than Marcus. His passer rating was at 94.4.
I think it's
and
been
Marcus is at 91.9.
I think it's been a combination. I mean, look, the fact is, and these have all been documented, we all know this, we've lived through it, but you know, you lose your starting defensive ends in Dietrich Wise Jr. and Dorrance Armstrong. You know, Lattimore, whatever you want, is a physical player, torn ACL. Trey Amos, we lose him last week. Will Harris, out. Daron Payne, suspended a game. Offensively, McLaurin's basically not been there all season. Austin Eckler tore his Achilles week two. You mentioned Jaden, our superstar. He's going to miss about half the games, mm-hmm. you know, by the time he comes back. Everything last year in one score games, we were 8-4. Okay. Lost only one game by double digits. This year, we're 0-2 in one score games. We've lost 4 by double digits. In fact, by 21 or more. Not like 11 or 12, by 21
I mean,
or that, more.
That's just embarrassing. I mean, that's why Joe Witt Jr. no longer is the DC.
We haven't been in the lead in the fourth quarter since that loss to Chicago when we fumbled that game away in week six. So we haven't even had a lead in the fourth quarter, Cakes, in 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, when you were talking about one-score games, I can't even remember them. It'd be great to have a one-score game. I mean, it's been since the Bears game. You know, another thing, we've talked about this the last couple weeks, they can't run the football anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of disappeared.
Is the last game they had success running the football the Chargers game?
Pretty sure, Bill went off.
Probably.
And I'm talking about if you eliminate the quarterback. Because when you put in the quarterback runs, it vaults them to being one of the better running teams in the NFL. And here's something to look at, because I've just noticed the last couple weeks, and JC can speak to this more. Brian Robinson.
I know.
He's averaging. Do you know what he's averaging?
7 yards a pop or something?
4.9 yards per carry. What is Bill averaging? 4.5, which is not bad. But Brian Robinson right now, in limited work,
he had nine
is averaging 4.9 yards per carry.
He had 9 for 51 last week.
Yeah, he ran better than McCaffrey last week.
Yeah.
The Bill shares are dead. I can own up to that.
All like that backpacking, I'm telling you, we need a reversal.
He's done nothing over like the last three games. He's like at 2.7 yards per carry, and his share of the pie is shrinking at this point because Chris Rodriguez is emerging as the top weapon in their backfield. Now that's not great.
He's not doing.
It's not
that
a great
either.
Backfield, but right now he's running the most effective of him, McNichols, and Bill.
So McNichols. Now, he only has 22 carries on
get
the year.
A lot. Yeah, he doesn't get a lot in the running game.
Maybe he should get more work.
He gets more receiving work.
Yeah.
Got to give a shout-out to Hogs Haven. I'm just perusing this, but I want to steal their analysis. Christian Palantonio wrote this article. What to expect with Dan Quinn taking over the Commanders' defense? Kind of speaks to what we were talking about earlier. And I guess one thing they say you can expect is a higher man coverage rate. I don't know, for better or for worse. From 21 to 23, while he was in Dallas, they ran the third highest man coverage rate in the NFL.
They also had Pro Bowl corners.
Yes. We're currently the ninth most man coverage team compared to the rest of the league. And I know that that's what Joe Witt wanted to run, but we just haven't been successful. We haven't had enough pressure.
Do they have men that can cover Achan and Waddle effectively? Because if they don't, that's a horrible strategy.
Who the starting corner? Sanders still and who? This week,
I guess Noah might get thrown in the mix, or Jones.
I think Jonathan Jones.
But didn't Jones banged up a little
bit? Yeah, but I think he's going to play. They say expect man coverage to increase with DQ taking over play calling, as Quinn's defenses are known to challenge receivers with aggressive press coverage. And that's why they say, you know, they targeted Lattimore. He's supposedly known for that. Didn't work out here.
I don't know if that's a great strategy.
I don't know if you
want
to do that
Dolphins.
when you got backups backups.
I mean,
you've got guys like Hamilton might be playing a lot. Antonio Hamilton.
Yeah, I see him number one on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, you want to try and cover Waddle with Hamilton?
Well,
all right.
Waddle and Achan are both super explosive. And I would
Hamilton
guess that
and Jones.
Here's another one. They say expect more creative fronts / exotic blitz packages. That's what I've been asking for. For weeks, I've been asking for that.
But they've tried all that.
Well,
hey, maybe they can rattle Tua. Tua's not the greatest with pressure.
If you remember, DQ was asked a few weeks ago, and it was one of the rare times he sort of openly, I think inadvertently, criticized Witt when he said he expected more stunts. Remember, he said that after a game. He expected to see a little bit more
stunts. I heard
him
say that, and I don't get it. When you're the head coach, you go to Witt and say, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but I guess during the flow of the game, sometimes you got to give them some autonomy. I mean, little bit. You can't oversee every single detail, right?
Well, if you're the head coach, you call the shots. You have the final call. If you don't like the way someone's game planning your defense, you change it.
Well, that's what he did.
Yep.
I know, but he should have done it weeks ago.
I don't know. They just put up 30 on Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
With Hamilton and Jones as your starting corners?
I mean, on paper, doesn't look great.
No.
And then the last thing is, will Dan Quinn find a better way to utilize Frankie Luvu than Joe Witt has so far this year? Luvu maybe flashing a little bit more of late, but obviously was much better last year, and they kind of compare him. Can he be their Micah Parsons.
Right.
You know, which they're always asking for. Which, by the way, remember I said they were going to try Jamin Davis in that role? Jamin Davis, I believe, did get signed off the practice squad.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
By who?
I can find that for you, but I just...
All right, you can look that up. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look around the NFL.
Baldy.
Brian Baldinger, Odyssey's NFL insider. He'll join us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.